Bro, what's up?
Dude, just watching the dating game.
Right on. Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast where we talk about Carrie Brownstein, how she's perfect. I'm your host, Parker. With me, as always, is co-host, Razor Blades Frisbee.
Hello.
We're joined once again by good buddy Chris Arneson. What's going on?
Not much. How are you?
Doing good. How are you dudes doing?
Great. How are you doing? Great.
Good.
Doing great.
Good. I'm also doing great. You doing good, Frisbee?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, Parker. Doing good, Chris.
That's equal to how I'm doing. I'm doing good.
Great. I just upgraded.
Awesome.
You.
I'm gonna update my Facebook status right now.
Yeah. So you guys doing good after this Valentine's Day? Do you guys get your hand jobs? Your traditional hand jobs that you're supposed to get on this day?
I gave myself one in lieu of the lady being in a different state, but you know.
That's romantic.
I also sent myself some chocolates, so it was a pretty good day.
Also romantic.
I guess you do have to warm yourself up to the idea a bit. Like, you have to charm your pants off.
Oh, I mean, I'm not a slut. I mean, I just don't go down with anybody.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing happened on my end. For Valentine's Day, I was mostly sick. Like, just allergy, sinus infection stuff, which is very unromantic and very unsexy. And
have you been sick for like the last 6 months? Are you dying?
Yeah, I think so.
Seems like every week you're just more and more sick.
Yeah, that's pretty common with me. Like, if I don't look tired, then I just sound sick. And, you know, it's not the show or anything like that, like coming up and recording, but it's just on weekends, I'll feel like I'm doing okay. And then as Monday rolls around, I just start feeling like crap. And it's always something different. Like, I mean, a lot of it's just me complaining about stuff that's pretty normal. But yeah, legitimately this week, real deal, not being a hypochondriac, really actually, you know, sinus infection, gross stuff.
You're not taking antibiotics for that sinus infection, are you?
Ah, oh, please. As if I could even dream of affording antibiotics right now. No, I'm toughing this one out. Like Oregon Trail, toughing it out. Yeah. You may see a tombstone of "Here lies Frisbee." He died from lack of antibiotics and too much sinus infection.
You bought two wagons and filled it with grandfather clocks.
I did, yeah. What am I gonna do with all this bacon?
Gotta get rid of it. I guess. Whatever.
Gotta make room for the grandfather clocks. Yeah.
I'll just throw them a buffalo. Whatever. Jesus, at least I know what time it is. Time to be sick on the trail.
Gotta keep on rolling, keep on moving.
Yeah, so this being the day after Valentine's Day, last week we tried to help people with their Valentine's Day problems. This week we're going to try as well. We're going to get on the Craigslist, find a couple of missed connections. Not everybody looks at Craigslist, but everybody listens to Pool Party. So if these people aren't found via the missed connections on Craigslist, then your backup plan, or plan A, is these people are probably listening to Pool Party. We'll help you out. We'll spread the word with your missed connection, and probably you'll find love, but probably you won't. This guy says, or girl, I got off my bus at West Covina and walked past you. I noticed you were looking at a gay magazine, and if I wasn't in such a hurry, I would have asked you if I could take a look at it with you. I would have sat next to you and rubbed your cock through your shorts. I'm not sure if you noticed me, though. You're one hot-ass Latino. So if you're that hot-ass Latino looking at porn magazines, apparently, on the bus, somebody's out there for you.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on. Just because it's a gay magazine, you jump to the conclusion that it's a porno magazine?
Well, if it elicits the emotion in somebody to sit next to them and start rubbing their cock through their shorts, that makes me believe that it's a porn magazine.
Well, I mean, you just can't make that leap of judgment. He may have been referring to Entertainment Weekly or something.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe they might have just been like really sexually excited about those new Avengers stills that came out.
Yeah.
I can't.
Chris Evans, oh my god. He looks so good in that suit.
Or all the dresses at the Grammys, or outfits at the Grammys, I should say.
I mean, did you see Nicki Minaj? It was awesome.
No, I didn't, actually.
It was awesome.
It was just a reference to how the Illuminati killed Whitney Houston.
Really?
She had a pope with her. She had a pope with her. Possibly a lesser pope, but he was with her. Just walking around that red carpet, and she was dressed up as a ninja nun or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you can hire popes nowadays to escort you.
Yeah.
They're escorts. They're hooker popes.
Yeah. Hooker popes. And if you, like, kind of, like, spend what you want, it goes through, like, Kickstarter. So, like, the more you spend, the more you get. So you can get, like, a package deal where you, like, guaranteed to get into heaven, but also a pope will go to the Grammys with you.
That's insane. This is a reference to the Illuminati. What?
No, it was, like, just, like, I mean, Exorcist.
Not really.
Like, musical, yeah. The Exorcist.
She just had a pope with her, Jason.
See, I'm willing to take this stuff at face value and believe exactly what you just said.
Yeah. Well, actually,
Nicki Minaj is teaching us about Illuminati. She's on the inside.
There is a theory going around now that Madonna's Super Bowl halftime show was a ritual to honor Satan. So,
really?
Yeah. Like, she came out and, like, apparently, like, the headdress she was wearing is like some sort of satanic thing, and she had like a pentagram. Like, when she did like a flip, you could see up her skirt, and she had like a pentagram on her her ageless chasm of a vagina.
God. And
all this other stuff.
I think she gets younger. I mean, that's how she stays young, is by doing this stuff.
She don't look young at all. She needs to worship some other deity then, because she's not getting the money's worth. She looks old as
she doesn't look like Madonna. She looks like somebody else.
She looks like Steve Nash's grandma.
Steve Nash or Kevin Nash?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Well, damn.
Here's another misconnection. If this is you, if you think this is talking about you, you need to get in touch with this guy on the Craigslist. Last year would have been the first time ever that I had someone to be with on Valentine's Day, but she left me 2 weeks before. A year later, I'm still... I still think about her every day. She had plenty of intelligence, the exact interest, exact personality, exact sense of humor, and even the exact image I always dreamed of. I haven't found but a few that had even remotely what she had. And no one has been interested in me at all anyway. I have no one to even talk to today.
I already don't like this guy. Or person.
I hate him.
Yeah.
It's like everybody I know on Facebook. It's like every status I saw yesterday.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's not like I like Valentine's Day, but it would just be nice to have somebody to talk to. Anyway, I'll just leave this here so you can feel bad for me. Blah, blah.
Yeah, bummer music videos, all that jazz. I was not feeling any of that this year. I wasn't celebrating the holiday. Couldn't give a fuck. I mean, I posted a Doctor Who, like, fan card, a fan Valentine that I thought was pretty clever. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's all I posted was pretty clever. It was a TARDIS card, and you open the doors, and it says, "Will you be my companion?"
And aww!
If you're a nerd like me, that's a really awesome card idea. Yeah,
that's pretty clever. I mean, I don't know if it's as clever as a Dalek that says, "I will not exterminate you on Valentine's Day," but I mean, that's fine, I guess. I don't know.
Hey, I love the exterminate Dalek card that you posted on my page too, Parker. Don't get so offended, all right?
That's all.
This was another one. It was not nearly as excellently done as the one you posted on my wall.
Did you make it, Parker, or did you just find somebody else's Valentine?
Yeah, I just found it, so I guess I can't.
That's what I do, too.
But it was great, though. Yeah.
It was between that and gay porn, and, like, he went both ways. But it was Doctor Who-themed gay porn. He thought you would have enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's fun. Any sort of Doctor Who slash fiction is okay. Right? Am I right? No?
Yeah, why not?
Here's our last misconnection. It says, Andrew, the title of this is Andrew at the Pagan Ceremony. What arresting gray eyes you have. Your intense, unbroken gaze felt like a laser that locked onto my eyes. You have always moved with the seasons. You have always followed the stars. We have never believed empty reasons. I was the first guy to take my clothes off as we chanted. Write me. So, I don't know. It seems weird to have a misconnection at a pagan ceremony where everybody's naked. It seems like you could freely talk to chicks at the pagan ceremony, especially considering, you know, all the chicks at the pagan ceremony are fat. I would think they would be pretty open to being talked to.
I feel like you're jumping to conclusions there, Parker. How many pagan ceremonies have you been to?
I don't know. I've never seen any pictures of any pagan chicks or Wiccan chicks that were like anything but either like super old hippie chicks or like really fat goth chicks.
I can't disagree with you. It's a thing.
So it seems like it would be easy to talk to her while at the pagan ceremony, but maybe this guy was very shy. But maybe not, as he was getting naked. Who knows?
He was the first one to get naked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the only part of that misconnection that I understood. And the rest of it was just kind of free verse poetry. So it seems like it'd be really hard to talk to chicks at a pagan ritual if that's how you have to talk.
It was bad free verse poetry, too. He said eyes twice, like right back to back almost.
Yeah, you're right.
So annoying.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Yeah, maybe there's a reason some of these misconnections are what they are. Like, there wasn't a connection.
One of them
is pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, the last one was, like, any person on Facebook. Like, how vague was the last one? I mean, really.
Yeah, that was general and really dull. And I like how, well, I don't like it, but it's interesting that we were both so adverse to this person. We're all pretty adverse to this person just after that misconnection. It's like, maybe you shouldn't have that connection.
Yeah. I'm hoping
we just write our own
to respond to that guy.
I saw you when I was looking at my manga magazine at the local Kroger's. I was about to get on my bus after my mom phoned, and I wanted to let her know that I'd be home soon. But I saw you, I think. I don't know. Like black hair, maybe? You look pretty out of my league. Maybe later we could talk to each other on Reddit. Or possibly Dig. No one's on Dig these days. It'd be ironic, right?
So Whitney Houston is dead.
That also happened this week.
It amazes me, because how is Charles Manson alive and Whitney Houston and both Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston are dead? Like, I never would have thought that that would have happened, ever,
well,
as a kid.
Charles Manson is living in captivity, and animals in captivity live a lot longer.
Like a wild gorilla.
Yeah. Except not wild, because he's in captivity. But the same sort of
swastika.
Yeah.
Right in his forehead.
That guy.
Funny guy. No, yeah, Whitney Houston is dead.
Yeah, very shocking. Anybody who watched a reality show will just be totally floored by this news that a person who was constantly fucked up beyond belief is dead. I know I'm shocked by the news.
And I'm shocked, too. I forgot she had a reality show.
Yeah, on that reality show, her husband, Bobby Brown, had to stick his finger up her butt because she had constipation. So,
oh, boy. That's
an enduring legacy. You've got Whitney Houston.
What episode is that?
I'm not sure, but it happened. It was only on for like a season, so there can't be too many episodes.
Oh, I gotta find that one. Maybe there's a correlation between celebrities who have reality shows and death, because, I mean, I think more of them are dying than staying alive. I mean, Anna Nicole Smith, dead. Whitney Houston, dead. Can't think of any more celebrities that have their show.
Well, I mean, Flava Flav was in that Pepsi commercial with Elton John for the Super Bowl, so he's doing all right.
Yeah, he's living life to its fullest.
Well, he's not dead by any means. But for the most, I don't know, like Hulk Hogan... He got a divorce.
And he made the worst video game in, like, the last year, I think, was the Hulk Hogan's main event. It's really bad.
Yeah, most wrestling games that aren't, like, the actual SmackDown versus Raw games are pretty bad.
I just know that I should never sell it, ever. If somebody tries to buy it, I should tell them, no, don't waste your money. But maybe he's just dead on the inside is what I'm trying to get at.
Oh, very much so, yeah. If you get divorced from your wife and then, like, the day afterwards, she moves in her 16-year-old boyfriend And he like posts a bunch of pictures on Facebook of him wearing your championship WWE belt. And yeah, you're going to be dead inside.
Oh my God.
Your entire life becomes a joke like that instantly. Yeah. You're probably going to be pretty upset, dude.
She looked a lot like Dog the Bounty Hunter's wife. I don't know if he was missing out or not.
Yeah, except she didn't have those humongous boobs. So that's 1 point for Dog the Bounty Hunter on that one.
Finally, he gets the points. 1 point on the board, Dog.
Well,
after all those negatives.
He goes with God. He's going to have infinite points in the kingdom of heaven when it's all said and done.
It's just him, him and an army of Mormons. It's going to be great. That's a reality show that I want to see. Dog at the Bounty Hunter hanging out with Mormons.
I think Mormons go to a different heaven. Don't they like get their own planet or something when they're dead?
Yeah, they're supposed to get
only
their
if
own
you're
planet.
Married in the temple, I think. If you're married in the temple and you stay with that person, you go become like a super being and you create your own planet and you populate it with the space baby children that you have from all the sex you never had. Unless you got married to that person, had sex.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Looks like I'm going to have to get married.
It is.
I want that.
You want that?
Yeah, I would love to get my own planet.
You have such a god complex.
Well, I dated a Mormon, and her sister said she was going to make a Lord of the Rings planet, but they got divorced, so I don't know if that's going to pan out the way she wanted it to.
I wonder if she got the one ring back, or he did after the divorce. Get it?
Now that's a really smart joke.
Yeah, so anyway, so Whitney Houston is dead. The Grammys honored her by bringing an American Idol loser out to sing a Dolly Parton song, which seems fitting, I suppose. So I figured in honor of this death, we would recount, we would do a good, the bad, and the ugly to recount, you know, some memorable cover songs that we know about. Good examples, bad examples, and ugly examples, of course, of cover songs. Mr. Frisbee, as is tradition, I need you to start us off.
Sure thing. Starting off with the good, I would have to say it's this past year's Onion AV Club undercover series. They had a performance from They Might Be Giants doing Chumbawamba's Tub Thumping. And we all remember Tub Thumping, right? Late 90s, Chumbawamba, I Get Knocked Down, But I Get Up Again.
Yeah.
Right on.
Written by anarchists that went straight to number one and sold however many billions of gallons of booze.
Yeah, exactly. I remember, yeah, tons of frat houses played that song, not really knowing that it was just a motivational for the working class song, telling them to stop singing old drinking songs, get off their ass, and do something with their life. Instead, it just got people to treat it as a new drinking song and keep drinking. But yeah, They Might Be Giants did a wonderful cover version of this, and it works on a lot of levels. Like, they describe it before they perform it as being like any of their other songs. Like, it has a couple of different stories to it, different sections, and it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, like most of They Might Be Giants stuff. I mean, there's definitely They Might Be Giants music that's just kind of nonsense. I mean, but there's also very intelligent work in there, too. And Tub Thumping, like Chumbawamba's other music, kind of goes in line with that. Again, not all of Chumbawamba's music is stellar or politically charged. Some of it's just kind of dancey 90s Euro crap. But this was a really good match, and it's a very infectious video to watch. It's infectious joyfully. Like, you end up getting really happy after watching it. At least I did. And it was the best undercover Onion AV Club performance of this past year, according to many of the visitors to that site. So yeah, that was my favorite one. Did you guys ever see this video?
Yeah, I saw it one time. And yeah, I don't know. I think that that Chumbawamba song sounds like Kids Bop to begin with, and then when you insert They Might Be Giants, like, it just sounds like a children's song. Like, it's just really weird and off-putting. Like, it's also, like, Rafi should show up and Sharon Lois and Bram and that elephant.
Yeah, and that actually kind of works too, because They Might Be Giants of course, has done a couple of kids' albums, like the album No, the album Here Comes the Alphabet, the album Let's Talk About, Let's Learn Science, or something to that effect. So, yeah, it also makes sense for you to critique it in that manner, too. It's probably what they're more used to anyway now, like very repetitious, except for all the drinking. I mean, that's hardly Kids Bop, but...
I don't know, these kids today.
Oh, man, let me tell you. They get knackered, something fierce.
They're getting wasted. They're giving hand jobs at the age of 13. They're going crazy.
So who's next with their good?
Chris Arneson, would you like to share your good?
I will go. I will. Yes. I think it was one of my favorite cover songs growing up. I was a huge Beastie Boys fan. And it released when they broke up, like the first time they released that Sounds of Science, like 2-disc set. And they had a live cover of Benny and the Jets with Biz Markie on stage. And this is them, like, super drunk at one of their shows. And I always really liked this song. Like, it was just, like, them just having a lot of fun on stage. And I, like, never really kind of expected, like, going through that album because there was a lot of, like, the old punk stuff and a lot of... You know, like their singles, like as the Beastie Boys, but it was really good. I'd say like kind of like the ugly would be like Dillinger Escape Plan's cover of Justin Timberlake.
We'll get to the ugly.
It did it.
We got to take it slow.
I'm sorry. I'm just kind of running in there.
We'll go around Robin. We'll get to it.
I guess that's just the bad. It's not the ugly. I'm sorry. And not like really bad. Like kind of like a painful. I like this. In a way, kind of bad. Because I actually don't like... I don't hate a lot of pop songs at all. Like, I don't hate Justin Timberlake. And I mean, it's not a bad... It's not a ultra bad, like, cover. It's just, like, I feel kind of embarrassed, like, listening to it in my car, like, driving around.
Is this the Beastie Boys one? Hard...
Oh, the Dillinger one, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm jumping sharks all over the place here.
You're skipping all over the place. You're messing up the whole order.
I am.
It's like a game of Uno. We're skipping, we're reversing. We got
I meant to say Beastie Boys, Biz Markie, Benny and the Jets, good-ass cover song.
Hadn't heard it yet, but it sounds intriguing.
I'll put the links online.
If it's good and by the Beastie Boys, then undoubtedly they will release a statement saying they regret making it.
That's true. And then another one of them has cancer.
Oh. Is that?
No. And then, oh. Well,
I think. Did you get an achievement for saying that?
I think I did. Shit.
Your thousandth cancer joke.
I'm so happy. I finally cleared them all.
What was your good, Parker?
My good is Devo's version of Can't Get No Satisfaction by those Rolling Stones. This is a song I think that does what all good songs should do. Like, keep up the energy and the feel of the original while adding your own thing. Like, making it completely yours. Like, without... Like, if you'd never heard the Rolling Stones version, you would think this was a Devo song. And I think that makes a cover song pretty successful. And especially on this song, a song that is like... A song and a band that is notoriously hard to cover well. This song's also been done by, like, Britney Spears and Cat Power, like, just to atrocious results. And the Devo version just fucking rules. Sounds good. It sounds good today. I listened to it earlier. It's still good. And I love it. I love those Devos.
Yeah, that is a really great one. I'm a huge Devo nut, as you're aware, as you're both aware. And it's always great, like, hearing any of the covers. I was actually considering one of their other songs as my possible for an ugly. And that would be the cover of Working in a Coal Mine. But then I realized I actually like that song a great deal. I like their cover of it.
Yeah, I think I had the album that song's on, and that was the one I always skipped for, like, years and years and years when I was first getting into Devo, just because... It was, like, in so many movies and stuff, but yeah, like...
Yeah, yeah.
I think if you listen to it independent of that, it's pretty sweet.
Right, and that's what I was trying to do today. I was like, well, if I just took it at face value, it's like, oh, yeah, this is actually quite good. I really don't mind this version. So, yeah, Devo has a really great voiced a lot of their records, they can you can obviously identify it as a Devo song. They kind of own it, really. My bad is Three Dog Night's version of Mama Told Me Not to Come, originally performed by Randy Newman. This one is just kind of a, I guess, a fanboy response. I really do like Randy Newman a great deal. And upon hearing Randy Newman's version of this song, because, of course, like everybody else, I had only heard the Three Dog Night version on the radio and was always kind of miffed by it. Like, oh, this is a really cheesy song. When I heard Randy Newman's version of it, I was, of course, in the fan mode, but also could hear how it could be better because he sounds way more pathetic in his version. Like, it's nervous. You're not really sure why you're at a party sort of thing. And you don't know what everybody else is doing. You're like, just a wallflower, and you just want to get out of there. And the Three Dog Night version is just this kind of elevatory music. Just, I mean, it's a notoriously tacky song. And you see it on, like, Super Hits of the 70s volume editions. And, yeah, it just rubs me the wrong way. And what do you guys think of this song? Like, this cover?
Well, I used to like this song a lot. Like, it was on, like, the Boogie Nights soundtrack, or maybe the Fear and Loathing soundtrack, or maybe both.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was on both.
Yeah, both of those soundtracks I loved quite a bit. And, you know, which is weird, because I usually don't go in for that old kind of rock and roll stuff. But I guess I liked those movies so much that I got into the soundtracks. And, you know, so for years and years and years, I liked this song. And then really recently, like, maybe in the last year, I read that Randy Newman wrote that song. And now I can only hear Randy Newman doing it. Like, I haven't even heard the Randy Newman version, but I mean, it just sounds so much like a Randy Newman song, like, that I can't even take it seriously anymore.
See, that's the crazy part about it, is that if you listen to how he sings it, and then you listen to how the Three Dog Night guys sing it, they're singing it, I mean, the lead singer's singing it like Randy Newman would. And for my money, like, I, you know, would much rather hear Randy Newman. I actually enjoy him a great deal, like I'd mentioned. And it would almost, it just makes more, forget it. It's all fanboy from here. Like, I'm not going to say anything that's going to change anybody's mind. I'm just going to gush. But yeah.
Let's get into a serious Randy Newman conversation right now, Jason. I demand it.
That's the thing. Like, I mean, I can't talk about him seriously because I just gush. And Parker won't talk about him seriously. Because, I mean, I guess you don't like him very much.
It's not that I don't like him. It's just that, like, he's so goofy. Like, I don't know. He's like a caricature.
I guess that's kind of why I like him. I mean, it's partially that same reason. I like characters.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is it? TBS. Characters Welcome. Is that even the right channel?
I think so. Or maybe that's USA.
USA. Characters Welcome. Burn Notice Welcome. In characters.
It's a show about a guy who's a spy and he hangs out with Ash from Walking Dead. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Walking Dead.
From Walking Dead, yeah. I'm going to stick with that one. I'm right.
But yeah, that was my bad. Chris, what was your bad?
Okay. My bad is actually Lissy's cover of Metallica's Nothing Else Matters. I got confused the last time I was trying to debate between the two songs I wanted to put as good. But I didn't even know who this person was until somebody showed me all the cover songs that she did last year. And I don't like any of her actual music. She just does, like, random cover songs, and they're, like, almost guilty pleasures. And I don't even like Metallica, so it's not like she could do it justice.
Who is this again? At all. Lissy?
Lissy? Yeah. Yeah. She does this, and then she does a Lady Gaga cover, and then a Kid Cudi cover. Kid Cudi? 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 That's right. Cudi sounds right.
Is she just like a YouTube star? Any...
No, she like tours like internationally, I guess. Like, she has her own albums and stuff, and I know I have friends that get really excited when she like comes to some city and they go see her.
I have no idea who she is. Yeah, I didn't
know
she was a thing. I mean, I just never heard of her.
She's not a bad musician. I mean, like, she can sing and play guitar, and she's got a good band behind her, but she does these, like, kind of guilty pleasure covers that I like can't get fully behind, but will listen to every now and again.
It's wild.
Maybe just like all of them together is one giant thing. Where it's like, I listen to all of them at once at the same time in my room while I cry.
And this one is the Metallica song that she's doing.
Yeah.
Which one is it?
Yeah.
Nothing else matters.
Is that the name of the song? I'm not even sure. I'm not a huge Metallica fan. As in, I don't like Metallica.
Parker, have you seen this version? Or
I have not. No, I know nothing about it. I'm not hip to it.
Yeah, there's a couple of videos of it on YouTube. They're sort of doing it live, and then there's like some HD ones. She's got a bunch of like high def, like really good quality like covers, like recordings that she did live, like small audiences and stuff.
Biff Naked does a cover of this song, I think, which is okay for
Biff. Wow, that's weird. I was just thinking about that band like two nights ago when I was out on delivery. I was like, what the hell happened to Biff Naked?
She's still doing her thing. She's still making music. But
I absolutely believe that.
Yeah, but it no longer is fashionably on the coattails of No Doubt's success, so nobody cares about it anymore.
Aww. Womp womp. I mean, she didn't get her own little Asian squad and like make a solo album.
Yeah, she didn't start making music that would only be played during the timeouts of basketball games.
God, this game is bananas. It's amazing they would play this song while I think that.
My Bad is a cover of The Passenger by Iggy Pop, done by Susie and the Banshees. This version sounds almost exactly like the original version, which is something I hate in a cover, except they kind of took the energy out of it and also included a bunch of shitty horns and trumpets and stuff like this. So I don't know, when you're like a like new wavy, like shoegazy sort of gothic band, why you would want to add a bunch of trumpets to a song. But they did it, and it sucks, and it sounds like crap. And my wife's really mad at me for picking this for My Bad, because she really likes this. Which makes it bittersweet, I suppose. I feel sad. I feel remorseful that I have to pick this, that it's bad, but it sucks.
I'm sorry you're the one, Susie and the Banshees, The Passenger cover.
I don't understand how you listen to Iggy Pop's The Passenger and be like, man, you know what would make this song great? Like shitty trumpets and stuff. Let's get in the record studio. Let's do this.
I haven't heard this version. Not yet. I'm usually a fan of adding shitty trumpets and stuff, and it sounds like I wouldn't be a fan of this one.
Yeah, like I'm always down for like adding trumpets to stuff. Like anytime Real Big Fish or like Less Than Jake cover a song, I'm like, man, this is the best cover song I've ever heard in my life. This is great. But I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess there's just something about like, you know, like Susie was like, hey guys, we're gonna cover this song, and we're gonna put trumpets in it, and then like the guitar player of the Banshees was like, hey, do we play trumpets? Is that what this band is about? And she's like, no. And they're like, all right, let's do it. Or maybe they are about that. I don't really listen to Susie and the Banshees. I don't know. Maybe they're a ska band for all I know.
I think they were. No, that's a lie.
Yeah, the song stinks. And then, you know, I mean, it's like such a good song, and it can be covered so well. The Lunatics did a really good version of it, and I'm sure a billion other bands did a good version of it, but this version stinks. Yeah, so what's your ugly, Mr. Frisbee?
My ugly is Rod Stewart covering Downtown Train, originally done by Tom Waits. And again, like, Tom Waits has another character that I really, really enjoy. In the same league as, like, Randy Newman. And Rod Stewart, after leaving the Faces, is just kind of creepy. And this is, again, like the same situation. I remember hearing this song before I heard the Tom Waits version, before I became a fanboy for Tom Waits. It's a very similar situation, but this one's just weirder to return to. Like, I genuinely do not like the Three Dog Night, Mama Told Me Not to Come song. Like, unless it's in some sort of movie trailer. Like, it seems to fit okay in just small blurbs. And Rod Stewart's cover of Downtown Train is just such a weird, weird, weird mess, because he's singing about, like, being on this train in Brooklyn. Like, it's a uniquely Tom Waits song, or at best like a really good Bruce Springsteen cover. And, you know, Rod Stewart's neither of those people. I know many people have tried to cover this song, but this stands out as like kind of the weirdest. And the video is really strange too. I mean, he's like walking in the street in this nice coat and scarf and everything, kind of goes into mini seizures when he's trying to rock out. And this is actually the observation from a crack.com article. But he then is hanging out with hobos, like around a barrel fire, singing about this downtown train where this, you know, this girl he's stuck on is probably riding. It's very, very bizarre. Like, it's trying to just really be melodramatic, and it fails really bad.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring this up. Adam Carolla was ranting about this song, like, very recently, like a couple of days ago or something, and talking about how he was, like, on a plane enjoying the song. And then he realized that because he was enjoying a Rod Stewart song, it must have been written by somebody else. yeah, I got online to find out that it was a Tom Waits song or whatever. But yeah, Rod Stewart, I don't know. Like, he's such a perplexing artist. I don't understand him or his appeal. But then again, like, I kind of do, because, like, he's got all these songs about how he's sexy and stuff. And I imagine, like, girls like guys singing about how they're sexy from time to time. But then again, like, he's got all these weird songs, like, later in, like, the late 80s and early 90s, he had all these songs about, like, hanging out with children and stuff. Like, I don't know. It's just...
That's a terrible transition.
Yeah, it's a really weird career.
Well, I want to have my sexy phase, and then when I hang out with... and I want to have my hang out with children phase right after that. This is my artistic cred just laid out for you. And yeah, like, to go back at the Adam Carolla thing, that's, again, like, that's how I remember first hearing the song. I'm pretty sure, like, as a kid, I'm fairly certain I bought this single on a cassette tape. Like, oh, hey, that's a really neat song about a train, and I like the chorus and hook. Who knows? He might have just been trying to reel me in as one of those little Rod Stewart kiddie love slaves. This is all speculation, but I'm just saying it worked on me, and I thought it was a good song at the time. And then as I got older, I'm like, hey, listening to Tom Waits and being this, just being a fanboy, basically. Be like, oh, everything this guy does is magical. Wait a second, I remember this song. And then I look it up, and it's like, yeah, Rod Stewart did this song, covered it, like, back in 89 or 90. I'm like, oh, no, my life is over. Yeah, so there's a little bit of backstory there. But yeah, the song itself is just kind of odd.
Yeah, it's real weird. It's like when I listen to it, I've listened to the song recently, and, like, I'll listen to it, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember this song. Like, you know, they used to play this a lot back in the day. I'm very familiar with this song. And then now that we're talking about it, I cannot think of what it sounds like for the life of me. Like, it's, like, probably the most forgettable version of a song that's ever existed.
Yeah, that's – I would agree with that as well. Like, it is very forgetful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my ugly. What was your ugly, Chris?
My ugly is actually Avril Lavigne's cover of John Lennon's Imagine that she did in 2007 for a Darfur awareness album.
Yeah, that just sounds really bad.
And she did a music video for it.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. Rolling Stone is quoted saying it's like watching a music video for Blue Jeans.
Wow, if Rolling Stone is going to speak critically about something, that's amazing, because they put the Jonas Brothers on their, like, top albums of the year list. So, yeah.
Of this last year?
Either this year or last year, or sometime. But yeah, so if
I would have given it to the Naked Brothers Band. What are they doing?
Yeah, so for Rolling Stone to attack you, you must have done something really wrong.
Really wrong? No, I just looked. I looked up information on it. I wanted to see what other people were saying about it, but that was one of the meaner ones. But, I mean, first of all, not a very talented artist at all. I'm still surprised when people say that they, like, had one of her CDs or something. I just don't understand why you would do that. But yeah, like, it's just plain ugly. Like, it sounds like she did it in one take and she just, like, hurried it onto that album so they could, like, pile it on there and raise money for other people, which is, like, fine. Like, that's okay to, like, take a song and, like, put it on there, like, you know, to on an album of cover songs to make money for something good. But you don't have to be. It's like she was shitty about it, you know? Like, oh, I'm going to do this song that everyone knows, and I'm just going to, half-ass it. Why not?
Yeah, which is really a shame, because if she would have done it well, then the violence in Africa would have ended. So
forever.
She kind of dropped the ball on that one.
Jeez. All those movies that make me sad, they would never have to make any of them. They would have just made a movie about how great she is.
Don Cheadle could focus his efforts on more entertaining stuff.
John Cheadle as Avril Lavigne in writing the cover song. We're not going to make a good title for it. She didn't put any work into the damn thing.
If Don Cheadle was involved, though, maybe he would have told somebody that they need more quads per channel, which is probably my favorite line from Boogie Nights, to bring it back to Boogie Nights. When he's a stereo salesman and he talks about how they need more quads per channel or whatever.
That sounds like a legitimate electronics concern. I like it.
Yeah. And it also reminds me of that time that Ali needed his trans pins minimalized so that he could go skating with Tony Hawk. My ugly for covers is, I actually have two of them. It's sort of a type of cover more so than an actual song, but it's, as I said earlier, like I really like when bands sort of make a song their own. And these two are sort of like that. The first one more so than the second one I'll talk about. These bands sort of make these songs theirs, but the bands suck shit. So it like offends me that they would bother making these songs there. But the White Stripes cover Jolene by Dolly Parton. And rather than being like sad and sort of dancey at the same time, like it's just whiny and shitty, and there's a bunch of shitty guitar work, and it sounds like a bunch of feedback, and it sounds stupid. And then also Disturbed did a version of Land of Confusion by Genesis, which is probably one of the better songs ever written. And or at least to me, because I fucking love that song and I love Genesis. But yeah, and that sucks too. It's like they took the song, they mostly left it the same, but they made it theirs by adding in a bunch of wah-ah-ah-ahs and like a real heavy breakdown in the middle for fucking no reason. And they even went so far to make an animated video for it, you know, that like depicts a bunch of violence and a land of confusion, as it were. And be it that it's like animated in a very interesting way, like the video is kind of cool, but you know, it also seems like they were just trying to cover the video as well, which the video is like one of the most iconic videos, you know, ever made, I would say. I would be so bold to say. And yeah, so the both of these things are just awful and I hate them. A lot of people really enjoy both of these. When I was like researching this, I saw a bunch of people, especially for the White Stripes, they were going nuts for it. But I think that's just because Spin Magazine has, you know, mind melded with people to make them believe that the White Stripes are the second coming of Jesus. So I don't really think that it's people liking the White Stripes version of Jolie. I think it's just them saying that they do. Otherwise, somebody will slap them in the face with a Spin Magazine and be like, "You're wrong! This magazine tells me they're great!" But really, it's just shitty music that's a derivative of a bunch of other shit. And yeah, so I don't know. Have you guys heard either of these?
Yeah, I've heard both of them, certain. I'll always remember the White Stripes. Well, not the White Stripes, but I'll always remember Jolene. Because apparently, when, I guess, like when I was, before I was born, and they didn't know whether I was going to be a boy or a girl, you know, waiting on like the sex of the child, I guess one of my grandparents was adamant that if I were born a girl, that I would be named Jolene after that song. And nobody understood why. Like, why would you, that's not like, that's not a good name to have. Jolene is not the protagonist of that song. That person is the a-hole of that song. She's the one, like, who doesn't give a shit about anyone and is ruining relationships. That's what you want our child to possibly be named. Luckily, dodge any more of that awkwardness before, you know, they found out I was going to be a boy and name me Jason after Jason Robards, I think.
Jason Voorhees.
No, not even close.
That would have been awesome.
It was on my way as that movie was coming out.
Like he only wanted to name you after villains from things?
Yeah, yeah.
It's either Jolene from the lady that ruins everything, or Jason from the movie where he kills those kids at the camp.
Well, it wasn't even him killing the kids in that first movie.
Yeah.
And that's the only one that would have been out. And that, which makes it even funnier, because it would have been hilarious.
Maybe he didn't understand the movie, Jason. Jeez.
Oh, no, I think it'd be hilarious.
Maybe I didn't understand the movie.
I think it'd be hilarious if people in that time period referred to the villain of Friday the 13th as Jason. Like, oh, it's Jason. It's like, no, it's Jason's mom. Yeah, it's totally Jason. Much like people do now, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, anticipating the films. Like, have you seen that movie with the Jason character? That Jason, he's something.
You mean Rob Zombie's Halloween? Yeah, I've seen that. Rob Zombie's Michael Myers is just Jason. But yeah, it's a shame you weren't born a few years later then, because if your parents would have gone with this villain's motif, your name could be Cobra Commander, and that would be fucking awesome.
That would be amazing. I'm pretty sure I wanted to change my name to that as a kid. Like, why can't I just be Cobra Commander?
I don't get it. It could be my first name and my middle name.
Exactly. Cobra Commander Frisbee. Cobra.
Oh my god, please change your name to that.
And whenever anybody addresses me by a first name, they have to yell it. I'm like, Cobra!
Crashing through the night. Whatever said the whole song, actually. That's from the movie. The good movie. The cartoon movie.
Man, I love that movie.
The one where Duke dies at the end, but then they didn't they realized that was a bad idea, so they have the actress Scarlett yell, like, oh, he's okay, don't worry!
Yeah, yeah. It's like every battle from Dragon Ball Z, where like you plainly see Yamcha blow up, and they're like, nah, he's cool, he's still alive, he'll be back. Or like Vegeta blows up an entire city, and then Tien will just be like, it's a good thing they evacuated that city, eh? It's good news.
Yeah.
Or let's just wish everyone back.
Yeah.
Because that's how life works. Well, I mean, these people are flying around anyway, fighting aliens. I mean, you can't really...
It's got to be realistic. God damn it.
I heard the movie was realistic, the live-action movie.
I've been wanting to see that. It's got Spike from Buffy as Piccolo.
Piccolo, yeah.
That sounds terrible.
It sounds so terrible. I'm just thinking about referring to you as Cobra Frisbee.
That's pretty good. I've been on a roll. I've been on a roll with this show of getting like the most hardcore nicknames, and I have no way to live up to any of these.
Hello, my name is Jesse P.S., and I'm the host of the Pod Awful podcast. What is Pod Awful? Well, it's one of the funniest comedy talk shows online. Every Monday, my comedian friends and I talk live on air about anything we want. We get way too personal, and we fuck up everyone's feelings. Things have happened on this show, such as calling an actual 10-year-old girl to tell her that there's no such thing as Santa or God. Real friendships have ended on my show. My ex-girlfriend called into the show live to break up with me on air. That's what you can expect from Pod Awful. Maybe you'll like it, maybe you won't. But hey, haters gonna hate, and I don't give a shit. You can watch every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time live at podawful.com/TV. Watch the video, chat in the Chaz room, hang out, call into the show. We are at podawful.com. We are part of the Red Band Network, and until you check us out, have an awful day.
And now, it's time
for the lightning round.
Megadeth frontman Dave Mustaine backs Rick Santorum. And it's kind of perplexing because his reasoning, at least quoted here from the site musicradar.com in the story, earlier in the election, this is Dave Mustaine's words, early in the election, I was completely oblivious as to who Rick Santorum was, but when the dude went home to be with his daughter when she was sick, that was very commendable. And he goes on to say, you know, I think Santorum has some presidential qualities, and I'm hoping that if it does come down to it, we'll see a Republican in the White House, and that it's Rick Santorum. So I'm not sure what president, I mean, maybe the musicradio.com interview has a bit more to expound on, but I'm not sure what presidential qualities he likes. I mean, he likes the fact that this guy went back to visit his sick kid.
Yeah.
Is that it?
I guess that's about it. I guess there could be worse reasons to vote for somebody. But, I mean, taking care of your kids seems commendable. I don't know. It doesn't seem like a good qualification to run.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely better than somebody who does not take care of their sick kid.
Yeah.
He was trying to say that America is a sick kid, and Rick Santorum won't convince his wife to abort it.
Yeah, or at least, like, he'll come home from work to look after America.
From being the president, he's gonna take some time off to look after America.
It's all pretty vague, and he's asked. There's more of the quote down here in this blurb. He says, "I'm just hoping that whatever is in the White House next year is Republican. I can't bear to watch what's happened to our great country. Everybody's
that bad.
Everybody's got their head in the sand. Everybody in the industry is like, oh, Obama's doing such a great job. I don't think so, not from what I see." I mean, yeah, there's got to be more to this story, because these are like the most vague, generalized comments I've ever heard.
But yeah, I mean, that's how journalism works these days. You just get a couple of real quick, easy, very black and white quotes. That way somebody can read this and they go, oh, okay, I understand now. I understand the thick and thin of this. There's no gray area at all in this story. They pick the two quotes to make it. That make me understand what baseball team Dave Mustaine is on.
Explain it to me like I was five, basically.
Yeah, that's what journalism now is. But yeah, I think that maybe Dave Mustaine, like, the older he gets, the more he just turns into, like, somebody's, like, mean, shitty stepdad. And people's mean, shitty stepdads will probably vote for Rick Santorum. So I think this is just in line with that. It probably doesn't have too much to do with politics. It's just that mean people will vote for Rick Santorum.
Which is funny, because he calls Newt Gingrich an angry little man, and even Ron Paul said that he will make total sense for a while, and then he'll say something so way out that negates everything else. Again, like, just sweepingly broad statement about Ron Paul. You go in way more depth and detail. Yeah, I agree. I doubt that Dave Mustaine is so much political, as he just doesn't like certain things. And if there's somebody that he kind of likes, then that person's all right.
Yeah. I think the listener, Phil Monster, is going to take Dave Mustaine's bad words about Ron Paul to heart. He's going to be very upset as both a Dave Mustaine fan and a Ron Paul fan. Phil Monster's going to be torn inside.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about this at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I one thing's for certain. That this clinches the election for Santorum, because once you have Dave Mustaine on your side, you're unstoppable.
Well, I mean, with this kind of decision-making skills, you know, this is why voting is kind of a weird beast anymore. I want to go back to that thing about journalism just really quick, because you're right. Like, this is not very interesting journalism. Like, I didn't need to know about Dave Mustaine's vague political leanings. And I actually read part of this newspaper that was posted by internet comic artist or comic strip artist Kate Beaton, who does Hark a Vagrant. She has this Tumblr, or it's a Twitter account, and she put a link up to a news story about, like, her great-grandfather, who was a policeman in, I think, New York. And there's an old issue of the New York Times from, like, 1896 or something. And the story about how he ended up losing a thumb from this bar altercation with this shirtless rustic dude who was, like, in the city and just belligerent, and bit off her great-grandfather's thumb while he was trying to, like, calm this guy down. It's written like a narrative. It's really fascinating. And this story is not very fascinating. Like, they did not really dig too deep with Dave Mustaine. Like, his, maybe these are just the views that he has. Like, they're just that broad and kind of dull.
It's like they bumped into him on the street.
Yeah, like, really quick, what do you think of this? I like Rick Santorum, seems like a good guy.
Yeah, that's exactly how journalism works. Like, I clicked on a link a couple weeks ago. It was like, you know, Dana Carvey, sad and homeless, is, you know, praying to God that they make Wayne's World 3. You know, and I was like, oh, that sounds sad. You know, I love Dana Carvey. And I clicked on it. And, like, it was literally just a guy going, like, ran up to Dana Carvey at the bank. And he was like, hey, would you do Wayne's World 3 if they asked you? And he's like, yeah, you know, I guess if they asked me, maybe I would. Yeah, it seems fun. And, like, that was the whole thing. And yet the headline was, broke and broken down piece of meat Dana Carvey begs for a job. So.
Oh, just because he's at the bank?
Or whatever it is. I mean, like, just because he expressed interest in a movie that probably will never be made, he's begging for a job. Like, I don't know. That's just, that's journalism.
This is kind of stunning, though. I actually followed the link back to musicradar.com. And the reason that politics comes up at all is because of one of the questions in line for him was, speaking of news, in reference to a previous question, you were a correspondent for MTV during the 1992 presidential election. And then it proceeds to ask him what's his take on U.S. politics in 2012. And that's it. Like, it then it just says, let's go back to the music after that. But that's where all these blurbs come from. I did not know he was a correspondent for that presidential campaign for MTV.
Yeah, I think that Doug from the state was also a correspondent during that debate. So
he was out of here at a lot of those interviews.
Dog Boy from Liquid Television. He interviewed Bill Clinton at one point, I think.
That's excellent.
It was a simpler time in politics.
I remember when all the candidates were on remote control. They had to
yeah
play for their lives.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton was on Singled Out one time.
Next story on the lightning round. A diner suffers a cardiac arrest while eating a triple bypass burger in a restaurant called the Heart Attack Grill. And I believe this restaurant was featured on like one of those diner shows where it's on Food Network. They go around visiting different eateries around America, whether they're novelties, and this one definitely is. In fact, the wait staff is dressed as paramedics, correct? Like they're dressed as nurses and whatnot?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be kind of like sexy nurses and all this. And then it's kind of disconcerting when somebody actually gets pulled out by paramedics. They're like, miss, why didn't you try to use some life-saving techniques? You look like a registered nurse. No, I'm not. I'm just a waitress.
Yeah, this is from one of these English tabloids, so who knows how real this is. I also saw it on the local news, so maybe it is real. But
I found a picture here of them taking a guy out on a gurney.
There's also a video of it, too.
Yeah, I mean, the guy could have slipped and fell. Like, we don't know. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, like, who knows if he was actually eating that thing or what.
Yeah, as shitty as
four pieces of meat.
But, yeah, so I don't know. Well, I'll take this as true. I'll believe these English. But yeah, this is pretty wild. It says right on their thing, you know, if you weigh over 350 pounds, you eat free. And now I'm like really upset that I lost all this weight. Like I should have been trying to gain weight because apparently I could eat free for the rest of my life if I was a big fat guy. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is, I'm sure this place, if this guy dies or whatever, this place will probably become scrutinized and probably be shut down as, you know, these things tend to do. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, why not celebrate the fact that people have heart attacks at your place and that morbidly obese people eat for free and that, you know, they're going to have heart attacks and stuff? I mean, the same goddamn thing will happen if you eat at McDonald's every day. You'll have the same heart attack. But, I mean, they want to, you know, they pretend that they're actual food. I mean, I like that this place is celebrating the fact, yeah, you come to Las Vegas, you fuck hookers, you gamble all your money away, and you get to eat a fucking 20-pound hamburger and, you know, this is what we're doing here.
Yeah, and just for the record, the triple bypass burger is 3 slabs of meat, 12 rashes of bacon. I'm not sure what a rash is. I guess slices? This is a British slang, I'm pretty sure. 12 slices of bacon, cheese, red onion, sliced tomato, and the Heart Attack Grill's own unique special sauce. There's also flatliner fries that are cooked in pure lard, which sounds delicious, and a giant soft drink.
Yeah, let's be honest here. I mean, this is probably a very delicious place to eat food.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the guy has probably been a regular or at least was already bad enough. The burger didn't do this to him. It takes a while for any of this stuff to build up and affect you.
Yeah, but it is ironic. Also, apparently you're allowed to smoke in this place, which is a delight as well. I love this place. This may be my new favorite restaurant that I'll never...
We'll have to go there.
Yeah. Next time I'm in Las Vegas, I'm going there.
I don't know if they close it down, you know.
Yeah, I gotta act fast before they close it down.
What only doesn't kill their customers makes the business stronger.
Alrighty. And last on the lightning round is Lance Armstrong Charity gives $1.5 million to support a state tobacco tax initiative in California. The contribution is made towards Proposition 29, and the Lance Armstrong Charity states that we feel that Prop 29 will save lives, stop kids from smoking, and just may lead us to a cure by adding $1 to the current tobacco tax. Big Tobacco and the tobacco companies will spend tens of millions of dollars to defeat this proposition. They say anything and do anything to get Californians to vote no. After this article, I'm still not sure what Prop 29 is. Like, it's a tax initiative? Is that it?
Yeah, it adds a dollar in state tax to every pack of cigarettes.
Whoa.
Yeah, and they already charge 87 cents per pack. And then there's also the 15% sales tax, and then the dollar federal tax. It's pretty insane, the amount of taxing they want to do. And
just killing the business, basically, for people.
Yeah, yeah. And you're not discouraging anybody from smoking. Let's be straight about this. These taxes, you're not seeing the number of smokers go down. You're just seeing the number of smokers get poorer. And it's a morality tax is all it is. Like, and, you know, people, obviously smokers are in the minority and stuff. And it's a thing that, you know, people like put shame upon it so nobody can really fight back. You know, it's like people try to make it indefensible. But like if this happened to like, you know, if all of a sudden there was like a $5 tax on like every can of soda you got, people would riot in the streets. But because, you know, it happens to these dirty, filthy, poor smokers, then everybody just kind of accepts it. And I think it's awful. It's terrible to tax morality. And that's exactly what this is.
I'm not so much even concerned with that. Like, I don't really see the difference or why it would be a morality tax. It's just all this talk about money. Like, they're talking about millions of dollars about supporting a proposition in the anticipation that Big Tobacco will spend tens of millions of dollars to defeat this proposition. They're just throwing money at the wrong issue. If either side actually gave a shit about any sort of cancer research, which seems to be the underlying theme here.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
Why even? It's silly. It's just so fucking silly. Yeah. And
Lance Armstrong could just donate his $1.5 million to the actual cancer research.
Yeah.
He's like giving money to the wrong thing at this point.
And I know that there's been like whatever initiatives for Philip Morris to do anti-tobacco commercials or whatever. Again, like, you know, if any of these people had a fucking heart, they would just stop just playing with their money and put it towards people who could actually use it. Like, it's not so much a morality thing for me. It's just not even common sense, just knowledge. Like, there's no interest in knowledge. It's just an interest of who's going to be right or wrong in the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, if you're really concerned about these people fucking dying, you have taken the step to make advertisements against your own product. Or if you're a charity who wants to heal the sick, then just fucking do that. Both of you. Like, I'm sure you can both do it. Does that make sense? Like, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what this is. I mean, like, Lance Armstrong, by giving this money to this, you know, he's not, like I said, he's not trying to cure cancer or, like, make people stop smoking. Like, he's donating this $1.5 million so they can, like, buy billboard ads and bus ads and shit like this to, you know, to essentially, like, just shame people who smoke.
That is all it really is. It makes people feel guilty about it and kind of, like, criminalize them and, like, make them, like, seem like they're bad people or villains. Especially people that, like, have kids and stuff because they smoke and they have kids. They smoke and they buy cigarettes. And that makes them look like they're buying stuff over, like, you know, clothes or food or something. And I'm sure there are people out there that, like, put themselves over, you know, over other people. People that are rude dicks about it. But all, I mean, for the most part, like, people will smoke in the areas that they're given. And, I mean, and a lot of those, you know, it's getting harder and harder to find places to smoke in public these days.
Yeah.
Even in Kentucky.
All these smokers, they're not dying of, like, emphysema or lung cancer. They're dying of the flu because they have to go out outside the bar in 10 degree weather during the winter and smoke.
Maybe in California.
Yeah.
But yeah, like this Lance Armstrong, I also think it's kind of ironic and a little hypocritical for him to like be like, oh, you know, I'm Lance Armstrong. I got to stop this, you know, I got to stop this cancer caused by smoking. You know, when he's like, you know, this healthy bicyclist who got cancer twice, probably doesn't smoke, which just goes to show you, like, you're just going to get fucking cancer. It doesn't matter if you smoke, if you eat an apple a day, if you're a world-class bicyclist, like, cancer just happens to you, no matter who the fuck you are. So, you know, why doesn't he spend this $1.5 million to try to get rid of the cancer?
To fight cancer, exactly.
Yeah. Or to stop the cancer ended by a million other things in life. I mean, people get cancer. Like, there's some study out that, like, literally, like, if you eat an apple a day, your chances for cancer increase. Like, stop apples then, Lance Armstrong, instead of all this stupid crap that you're doing. Let people smoke. People need smoking to ease the pain of being alive, and it also shortens their life and kills them, which also goes to ease the pain of being alive. Let them have that.
This debate's giving me cancer.
Okay, I think we all have different reasons for why this is silly. And
money can be used for better things.
Exactly. That's my bottom line. It's like money could definitely be used for better things. I mean, at least some of these taxes. Like, if it's, oh god.
I mean, at least you like educate people, you know, or like try to like put it into other programs and stuff. If you want to fight smoking, don't like you're punishing people. You're punishing the people that buy it. It's not really gonna push everybody out of it. I don't know a lot of smokers that have quit just because packs are more expensive. I know casual smokers that buy less, and when they move to like big cities and stuff, and that's really it.
Yeah, like I've known people who like smoked ultralights or lights or whatever, and because cigarettes are so much more now, they're smoking like the, you know, like the heavier ones, like the Marlboro Reds and like unfiltered and stuff, because they have to get their money's worth. And ultimately, that's probably way worse for you.
I mean, like if they're taxing so much on like cigarettes and stuff, does that mean they're gonna start like, what if because I had some friends were out in California recently, and they said that people were just smoking pot like in so many different places of where they were, like just people were just smoking pot kind of casually, and like the dispensaries were like pretty crazy and stuff. So is that what people are doing instead? Over, I mean, that's not like I have anything against that at all.
Yeah, I guess that's what's going on instead. Like, yeah, there are a lot of dispensaries around here. Well, not around here, but in the cool parts of California that aren't, you know, drowning in like cow shit and roaches and stuff. But like, yeah, like there are dispensaries that are like the size of like Walmarts and stuff like this. It's pretty awesome. And yeah, people
it's amazing.
Yeah, I've gone to like shows and stuff on like the coast, and like people, yeah, they don't give a fuck. Like they'll just be smoking. Cops give them thumbs up and stuff. Like, in some of the cool cities.
Nice job.
Yeah, they'll like give thumbs up to the weed smoking dude, and then they'll like mace and tase the guy smoking a cigarette.
How dare you?
Yeah.
You bought that legal cigarettes. We should just flip it around. Let's make smoking cigarettes illegal. Let's legalize marijuana. I don't think anyone will have a problem with that.
Yeah, that's like pretty much why people smoke cigarettes, I think, to begin with, is because it's way easier than trying to score marijuana all the time. I say marijuana like I'm an old man. But yeah, it's you know.
Marijuana.
When you're like 16, you're like, oh, you don't have any weed? Well, I guess I could steal a pack of cigarettes from my mom. And like, that's how it starts. But if everybody just always had weed, nobody would smoke.
That's how it always starts.
Since the dawn of time.
Mm-hmm.
Cave mom, not have cigarettes. He smoked grass instead.
It's like the it's like the opening of a 2001 A Space Odyssey. And instead of that huge monolith, it's just a cigarette.
Giant pack of Lucky Strikes.
Are you tired of movie podcasts where everyone is talking like an asshole about stupid shit like The Godfather and The Shawshank Redemption? Then you need to hit yourself a Junk Food Dinner, a podcast where we value laser guns and Dean Cameron more than acting ability or feasible plots. We love any cheesy old cult stuff you got. The more rubber monster suits chasing bikini beach girls, the better. And we're not assholes. Check us out at www.junkfooddinner.com or search iTunes.
Got mail.
This week's Frisbee Got Mail, we actually do have an email from David. Just wanted to hip you guys to the man's equivalent to Valentine's Day. And he provided a link for steakandbjday.com. And checking this out, kind of the website recaps that every February 14th, you get the chance to display romantic fondness for a significant other with gifts, flowers, dinner, shows, any other sort of stuff that you can find romantic. And he decides to christen a new holiday, which is something that we try to do on Pool Party every now and again, such as Cranksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have a Cranksmas, did we?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you can really, anytime you can insert the word crank into like a holiday, I think it can become that holiday. I think okay. Cranksgiving is the best. It rhymes the best. But you can do Cranksmas if you want. No one will be mad at you if you're celebrating Cranksmas.
I gotcha. And in this case, this website proclaims that March 14th should now officially be Steak and a Blowjob Day. It's very simple, to the point, and self-explanatory. And yeah, that's the new course. We were talking about on the last show how Valentine's Day seems to be a little bit more for the female persuasion and
ladies.
For the ladies.
Yeah, but I think this will really take off, this Steak and a Blowjob Day. It's going to be great.
Unless you're alone.
Yeah, unless you're alone.
Yeah, then I'm not sure how it works out. Is it just?
Well, I just live with a bunch of guys, and they're all single. I mean, my girlfriend does live here, so maybe I could just, like, convince one of them, kind of go in on it together.
Yeah, I'm sure if you cook a steak for a guy, I'll give you a blowjob. I mean, you won't tell anybody or anything. I mean, steak tastes really good.
That was a subpar steak. Well, that was a subpar blowjob, so. Happy S&B Day.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day. I look forward to celebrating this. I'm going to tell my wife about it tonight.
March 14th. And thanks again, Dave, for sending the email. If anybody out there listening wants to send us an email, you can do so by addressing it to poolpartyradio@gmail.com. And we'll read them shits on the air.
Hell yeah. Yeah, so that brings us to the end of the show. I'd like to thank Chris for joining us.
Heyo. Well, thank you. Oh, thank you.
And, yeah, you can go to our website, poolpartyradio.com. We've got all the episodes up there, all 44 or something. We've also got a link to our iTunes where you can go and subscribe, and you won't have to manually download episodes anymore. You can just subscribe, man. They'll come right to you every Friday or whenever they come out, usually Friday. You can also leave us some nice reviews on there. Yeah, you can leave us like a review and like a nice 5-star rating, or however many stars you like. And then the next person who stumbles upon our iTunes page will be like, oh wow, this page has like all these like cool 5-star reviews and nice comments. It's probably like a really cool podcast. I'll download it. It's probably way better than listening to Disturbed, which is what I normally do. So I'll download this. We've also got links to our Twitters, Parker Arizona and Jason Frisbee, on the website if you want that kind of thing. Chris, you got a Twitter? You want to throw out some Twitters?
I don't tweet anymore.
You want to throw out?
I'm not above it. I'm just lazy and forgot my password.
That happens. You want to throw out your? You're on the drunk movie reviews. You got?
Oh, it's my friend's stuff. Yeah, it's.
It's about that.
It's drunk movie reviews on. On YouTube, but their username for some reason is not that, so I have to look it up actually.
I think there's a link to the guy's page on our website, maybe. I think I put that back.
If you actually type in drunk movie reviews on YouTube, it goes right there, but it's his channel is LLL Debaser LLL, because the guy in it is Mike Debaser. Which is actually what I thought his last name was for like 8 years. So, but it's not. It's not his real last name. He just really, really, really likes the Pixies. But he actually, the last thing they did right after they released their Blu-ray and DVD is they had a top 5 Christmas movies episode, which is actually, even though not in the spirit of the holiday right now, actually a damn fine episode. He spills eggnog all over his pants. It's great. Family fun for everyone.
Nice. I hope they talked about Ernest in that episode. As that's...
They possibly did.
Nice. So this is Parker for Jason Frisbee and Chris Arneson saying, fuck you, Chelios.